Chapter 8.
Oh my God! Darcy cried. What happened?
Jamie wrapped her arms around Darcy's shoulders and began sobbing.
It's Grandma. I couldn't wake her up.
Jamie cried, her voice quivering.
Where is she?
Jamie quickly led Darcy and the paramedics into her grandmother's bedroom. Darcy felt like she had been kicked in the stomach when she saw Grandma sprawled on the floor. Darcy grabbed her sister's hand as the medics hoisted Grandma's limp body onto a stretcher. The girls followed them as they carried Grandma outside.
Did you call Mom and Dad? Asked Darcy. Yeah, Mom's at the hospital and Dad's on his way there. I called them right after I called 911. Mom said to stay here and wait for them to get back from the hospital. She said one of them will call as soon as they learn something.
After the emergency technicians put Grandma into the ambulance, one of them strapped a plastic mask across her face.
She's still breathing, yelled a paramedic.
Quickly, the driver jumped into the ambulance and slammed the door. Within seconds, the vehicle was screeching down the street toward the hospital, lights flashing. Back inside the house, Jamie explained she had gone into Grandma's room and found her lying on the floor unconscious.
I tried to wake her, but nothing happened, she said. That's when I called 911.
Darcy felt a twisting feeling in her stomach. She imagined the horror Jamie must have felt when she discovered Grandma on the floor. She was angry at herself for not being home when Grandma passed out.
This might not have happened if I stayed here, Darcy said. I shouldn't have left you two alone. I should have been here.
There's nothing you could have done, Jamie insisted. I just hope she's going to be all right.
Darcy sat on the couch, unable to push the image of her unconscious grandmother from her mind. She wanted to call the hospital, but she was afraid her parents might try to contact her while she was on the phone. Part of her wanted to call Hakeem. He had always been there when she had problems in the family. Now, he was hundreds of miles away, and even if he were nearby, she could not imagine calling him, especially after what happened with Brian. The evening wore on slowly, and with each passing minute, Darcy feared more and more for Grandma. Finally, she heard a car pull into the driveway. Darcy trembled as her father walked up the front steps, the sound of his feet heavy and slow.
How's Grandma? Darcy asked as soon as he opened the door.
She's doing all right, Dad said. But she gave us a good scare.
What happened? Jamie asked.
She must have tried to get out of bed by herself,
Dad replied, joining his daughters on the sofa.
She probably lost her balance and fell on the floor. When she went down, she must have hit her head on the bed frame. It took her a few hours to come out of it, but she's doing much better. The doctors are keeping her overnight for more observation, and your mother's staying there with her.
I'm sorry I wasn't here, Darcy cried. I feel like this is all my fault.
If anyone is to blame, it's me, Jamie said. I'm the one who was home, but I thought she was sleeping like she usually does.
This is no one's fault, Dad said, putting his arms around both girls. Your grandmother didn't fall because of you two. You know your grandmother. When she sets her mind on something, nothing is going to stop her.
But I should have been here, Darcy insisted. If I was in the room with her, she wouldn't have fallen.
Darcy's father hugged her but said nothing for a moment.
You girls should get some sleep. Grandma's okay, and there's nothing more we can do tonight, Dad said finally, getting up from the sofa.
Watching him walk slowly down the hallway, Darcy knew she was not about to fall asleep anytime soon. She decided to stay up and wait for her mother to come home from the hospital.
How is she? Darcy said when Mom walked in around midnight.
She's sleeping,
Mom said wearily. Her eyes were swollen and glassy.
I came home to get a shower and sleep for an hour or two. Then I'll go right back and sit with her some more until I find out what the doctors have to say.
Can I go with you, Mom? Darcy asked. I'd like to sit with her, too.
I don't think that's such a good idea, Mom said as she trudged to her bedroom. You stay here with Jamie. She needs you right now.
A second later, Darcy heard the bedroom door close. The house became deathly silent, the living room dark except for the ghostly glow of a small nightlight. Darcy felt more alone than ever. Darcy tossed and turned throughout the night,
Every so often, she glanced at her clock, hoping she might fall asleep. The minutes rolled by, but she could not relax. At 1:30, she tried to read a book, but she could not concentrate. At 3 o'clock, she fluffed up her pillow, turned her light on, and looked at old pictures of her grandmother. By 5, her eyes were exhausted, but she was still not sleepy. At sunrise, birds began squawking loudly outside her window, reminding Darcy of Grandma and making her feel even more depressed. So many things had changed so suddenly, she thought. Hakeem was gone, Grandma was in the hospital, and then there was Brian. She still could not believe that only hours earlier she had kissed him in a way she had never kissed Hakeem. Finally, in the mid-morning, Darcy fell asleep and dreamed that she was walking along the beach. As she walked, the sand in her dream became soft and deep, and she felt her body sinking. She struggled to free herself, but the sand quickly rose around her until it covered her chest, spilled into her mouth, and began to choke her. Screaming in her dream, Darcy sat upright in her bed. The house was silent. At noon, Mom called to say that Grandma's condition was improving. They're planning to send her home tomorrow. Hearing those words, Darcy felt as if a great weight had been removed from her shoulders. Grandma's doing better, Darcy announced to Dad and Jamie, and she'll be coming home tomorrow. Thank goodness, Jamie exclaimed, relief and happiness in her voice. Her father nodded thoughtfully several times, but returned to the kitchen. Darcy was thrilled with the news. She could not wait for Grandma to be home and for their family to return to normal. Leaning back in the living room chair, Darcy thought again about how just 24 hours ago she had kissed Brian. It seemed as if that had happened weeks ago, not yesterday. Darcy wondered what Brian really thought about her. She wanted to call him, but she felt awkward every time she imagined their conversation. "Hi, Brian, this is Darcy," she'd say. "Are you for real? Do you really like me, or are you just playing games?" She knew the questions were silly, but she wanted to know the answers. Part of her wished she could talk to someone about him, and she felt dishonest for keeping Brian a secret from Tara and her parents, but she was certain they would be angry that she had kissed a 19-year-old, especially so soon after Hakeem left. "Don't stop living when Hakeem leaves," Tara had said weeks ago. Darcy wanted to tell Tara the truth, that she had not stopped living, that someone new was coming into her life. But she was not sure how serious Brian was, and she also was not sure about herself. She still felt guilty when she thought of Hakeem, but whenever she spent time with Brian, that guilt seemed to dissolve. Later in the afternoon, Jamie barged into Darcy's room when she was trying to take a nap. "You have a phone call. It's Brian, your new boyfriend," Jamie teased. "He's not my boyfriend," Darcy blurted. "Yeah, right," Jamie replied as Darcy rushed for the phone. "Hello," Darcy said, trying to hide how excited his call made her. "What's up, baby?" Brian asked. Darcy hesitated briefly and then explained what had happened to Grandma and how she had been up all night. "I'm sorry, Darcy," Brian said. "I understand what you're going through. Just take care of your family and give me a call when things settle down." "Thanks, Brian," she replied, hoping he would not hang up. She wanted to see him again, but felt awkward suggesting they get together. For an instant, there was silence on the phone, and then Brian spoke. "I had a really good time yesterday," he said. "Me too. Maybe we can go out again soon," she suggested nervously, surprised at her own words. "You want to come over for dinner tonight?" Brian asked quickly, his voice rising. "I can order pizza and we can chill. I don't have to be at work until 9. Darcy's heart pounded at Brian's offer. She had not planned to see him so soon, but the thought of spending more time with him was very tempting. For an instant, she wanted to ask whether LaSalle and Kalina would be home, but she was afraid it would seem rude or childish. She knew her parents would not let her spend time alone with a boy, especially after dark, but she did not mention that to Brian.
"I can be there at 5:30.
"Cool. I'll see you then, Darcy."
After she hung up, Darcy noticed Jamie staring at her from across the room. She wondered whether her sister had listened to their entire conversation. "What?" Darcy asked, glaring at her sister.
I hope you're not planning to go out. Dad's cooking tonight, and he wants us all to sit down and eat together. He's making this roasted chicken, Jamie said.
That's right,
Dad said, walking into the living room with a spatula in his hand.
You girls are going to love this meal tonight. Your old dad has really outdone himself this time.
Isn't that what you always say? Jamie teased. As much as she wanted to be with her family, Darcy was eager to see Brian again. He made her feel special, and now they had plans to have their first dinner together. Darcy didn't want to call him back to cancel.
Guys, I can't eat here tonight, Darcy said.
Why not?
Dad asked, looking surprised. Jamie's eyes widened.
I have to babysit, Darcy said, looking at Jamie as she spoke.
Jamie's jaw dropped, but she said nothing.
Tonight? Isn't there somebody else they can get?
Dad asked, looking at Darcy. He did not seem to notice Jamie's reaction.
No, Daddy, they don't have anybody else.
Baby, I wanted you to be here for dinner so we could eat together as a family. We've been through so much this week,
he said, pausing for a moment and seeming a bit hurt by Darcy's announcement.
But if you have to go, we'll understand.
Thanks, Daddy. I won't be late.
I'll keep a plate hot for you, baby. This is a real nice thing you're doing for that girl. I hope she appreciates it.
I'm sure she does, Darcy said, smiling.
You owe me another one, Jamie said just before Darcy left.
I don't know what's going on with you two, but I never seen you act this way before. Not with Hakeem or anyone.
Jamie's words haunted Darcy as she headed over to the Masons. At the door of the apartment, Darcy wondered whether she should turn around and go home. She had never lied to her father before, and Hakeem had been gone less than 2 weeks. But the thought of seeing Brian lured her. More than anything, Darcy was happy to have someone special in her life. Someone who was interested in her. Someone who thrilled her with his touch. Her fingers tingled as she knocked on the wooden door of the Mason's apartment. Brian opened the door seconds later, and Darcy noticed the scent of incense coming from the apartment. The lights in the living room were turned down, and the entire apartment was bathed in a dim amber glow. Darcy knew instantly that Kalina and LaSalle were not home. The small television was on, featuring a music video of a man rapping inside a ring of fire. Glancing at the other side of the room, Darcy noticed two plates on the coffee table. A pizza box was sitting between the plates.
I'm glad you came over, Brian said, turning off the TV. I'm sorry about what happened to your grandmother.
Thanks, Darcy said. She's gonna be okay. The doctors are sending her home tomorrow.
You must be exhausted, Brian said. Have a seat.
He gestured toward the sofa.
I wanted you to relax, so I tried to make things as nice as possible.
He lit a small white candle on the coffee table and then sat next to her. Darcy's heart began to race. She had been alone with Brian before, but never this alone.
I can't believe I'm sitting here alone with you.
I told my dad I'm babysitting, Darcy admitted, shaking her head. She kept her hands on her lap so Brian would not notice how much they trembled. Where are LaSalle and Kalina today? She asked.
Oh, they're invited to a friend's for dinner. They won't be home for hours,
Brian answered as he got up from the sofa.
You look so tense. I think I know how to relax you.
He walked behind the couch where she was sitting and placed his warm hands on the back of her neck. Then he began to gently massage her shoulders.
I like you a lot, Darcy, Brian confessed. I've liked you since the first day you came over to meet Kalina. I just kept hoping one day you'd like me too, and now here you are.
Darcy felt Brian's powerful fingers moving in circles along her shoulders. His touch seemed to push his words deeper into her mind, and though part of her was startled by Brian's confession, another part of her felt entranced by his words.
Relax, he said, moving his hands more slowly.
Darcy leaned back in the sofa and dropped her head forward so he could massage her more completely. Her eyes were closed, and she felt almost like she was on a beach again, listening to the waves break against the shoreline. With her eyes closed, under the steady pressure of his hands, Darcy almost forgot that she had lied to her father, that she was alone with Brian, that she had never done anything like this before with Hakeem or anyone. Darcy felt Brian's breath against the back of her neck, and she turned towards him.
His lips met hers, and as they kissed, a feeling of electricity raced from her lips into her body. She gently placed her arms around his warm neck. Quickly, Brian leaned across the couch and into Darcy. Kissing her, he squeezed his body closer. She could smell his cologne and feel the thick muscles in his shoulders and back. Closing her eyes, Darcy imagined she was on the beach walking slowly with her hands entwined with his. Then Brian's face changed, and for an instant she was walking with Hakeem. Startled, she opened her eyes and Brian was leaning into her, his lips tight against hers. Darcy felt as if she were watching herself in a movie. She could see Brian leaning against her, and she could see herself kissing him, but the movie was happening too fast. Brian's kisses, Grandma's illness, Hakeem's departure, the lie to her father, all of it was too fast, and Darcy could not seem to stop it. Brian's hand snaked down from her shoulder. For an instant, she felt it rest hot against her waist. Then his fingers began tugging at the base of her shirt. Darcy moved her hand over Brian's fingers to stop them.
"Relax," Brian said, running his other hand along Darcy's face as she stared into his dark eyes. "It's okay."
Then he started to kiss her neck. Closing her eyes again, Darcy felt Brian's hand return to the bottom of her shirt. A second later, he was beginning to peel it upward.
"Brian,
just relax," he repeated, an edge to his voice. "Everything's gonna be fine."
Again, his hand slipped lower, and this time Darcy grabbed it. "Brian, stop it," she insisted.
"There's nothing to be afraid of," Brian said, glaring at her. "Why are you making such a big deal?"
Darcy felt embarrassed under his gaze. She wanted him to stop looking at her, and she felt foolish for getting so upset. Still, Brian was going too far. She was surprised when he started kissing her again.
"Brian!"
she yelled, twisting away from him. As she turned, her leg smacked against the edge of the table, knocking the pizza box and plates to the floor.
"What's wrong with you?"
Brian yelled, anger in his eyes. He stood over her now, his hands gripping the top of her arms, his pulse pounding in his neck.
"You're acting like a baby."
Pain from his grasp shot into her arm.
"Brian, let go! You're hurting me!"
Struggling to free herself, she knocked a nearby lamp over with her flailing foot. The lamp broke as it hit the floor.
"Let me go!"
she screamed.
"Calm down,"
Brian commanded her loudly, shaking her. Darcy wrestled her left arm free and slapped Brian across the face.
"Let me go!"
she yelled again. Her hand stung from the impact against Brian's skin, and she watched in horror as his eyes widened in rage. Instantly, Brian's grip tightened, and Darcy found herself unable to break free.
"Brian, stop!"
Darcy cried as sharp pains began ripping into her arms like stabbing knives.